It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, they say no two snowflakes are alike, but I don't think that applies to basketball games. In fact, last night's game and tonight's contest couldn't be any more similar. Well, at least the first half. Last night, after building an early 10-point lead on a bunch of three-pointers, the Rebels jumped out to a 10-0 lead tonight to start tonight's contest as well, courtesy of Tyrell Green's back-to-back threes. But Western Kentucky overcame extremely cold shooting to actually take a 30-28 point halftime lead. And after some fairly well-contested action in the second half, with 5 minutes to go, the Rebels busted it wide open and closed out the visiting Western Kentucky Hilltoppers by a final score of 71-61. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park, Legacy, and Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, if you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. And Pizza My Dear with a smoke and lunch deal. 12-inch pizza for only $5. With two locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. Now, we come to you after every game this season. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas, 364-1100. Give us a call, be part of the action. Or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team to my left. Turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, who will also be taking your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman. You hear him every day on Cofield & Company. That would be John Von Tobel. JVT was raining threes tonight at the Thomas & Mack, courtesy of Tyrell Green and Jalen Poyser, who had 11 of them. They combined for 45 or 71 points. I think to say this team is relying on the three-pointer would be an understatement.
Yeah, you touched on it in your tweet with the they did not shoot their first free throw until 8 minutes and 18 seconds to go in the second half. That means you're not attacking. That means you're not being aggressive. And that means you're not drawing fouls and obviously getting to the line. I thought it was like a carbon copy of yesterday. I thought deja vu for a while with a different result, obviously. And they end up winning because they do hit some lucky threes.
Well, it was a carbon copy in the sense that the Rebels win the tip. They come out, Tyrell Green, boom, 3-6-0. Tyrell Green, another three, boom, it's 3-0, then 6-0. Then it's 8-0, then it's 10-0. Then Western Kentucky calls timeout. They go to a 2-3 zone. All of a sudden it's 10-4, 10-6, 10-8. It was deja vu all over again. And by the way, Western Kentucky came out ice cold, 0 for their first 8, 4 for their first 18, but still managed to take a slim 2-point lead at the half.
Yeah, and when you watch that first half, again, I'm sitting there watching it, and it's like, how can this team at times just look so lost against a 2-3 zone? And obviously then they started doing a little bit more, like when they would bounce pass it into the paint.
Right.
It would find its way right back out to the wing to get some space. They would post up, right, and then they would bounce it right back out to get some space for a shooter. That's how Jalen hit some of his threes. So they did look a little bit more prepared when it came to the 2-3. But I'll admit, Western Kentucky's didn't look as aggressive as TCU's, where they were crashing down on the passing lanes like the Horned Frogs were last night.
Exactly. I had some pregame notes. These are the things I wanted to see going into tonight's game, coming off the loss. The first thing, youth movement. I want to see production out of freshmen. We're going to talk about some of this. I thought Ben Coupette did some nice things tonight, really battled the 7-footer. Baxter, I'll get to some of the other underclassmen. I'm referring to freshmen. And that means the bench, too. We need a lot more bench production. By the way, the Rebels outscored again tonight. Bench points, Western Kentucky 15, UNLV 9. Turnovers. Stop it. A lot of times they're self-inflicted. Traveling, illegal screens, that goofy spin move these guys like to do when they dribble into paint, dribble into traffic, lose the ball. Charging, offensive fouls. A lot of the turnovers are unforced errors. And one thing I will say to the Rebels' credit, though, they did commit 7 or 8 turnovers early in the first 12 minutes of the game, but only had 4 the remaining 24 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and there were even some of the turnovers that you could look at, like Dwayne's fourth foul, that charge. That's a little shaky when it comes to the call. I thought the guy was moving. But no, they did improve. They settled down a lot. One guy who really settled down with the turnovers was Javon Mooring. Yeah, last time we saw him, he's throwing up alley-oops to guys who aren't there. You know, right. He's throwing balls out of bounds across the court, just losing it when he's dribbling into double teams. And today, he settled down, was selective with the shots, and obviously he didn't turn the ball over. He only had one on the evening.
And I guess if you hit 13 three-pointers like the Rebels did tonight,
yeah. You're
going to hang around. We're going to find out. The schedule is going to start to get very interesting. We're going to talk about that as we get into the show. But as always, Rebel Extra is a caller-driven show. The show is for you, Las Vegas. The callers are what make the show. So without further ado, let's go out to the phone lines. And we're joined by Kevin. Kevin, get us started off again on Rebel Extra like you always do.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah.
What do you got, man?
You're on the air, Kevin.
I'm here.
Okay, you can talk now, bud.
Okay, sorry, guys. Hey, sometimes you just kind of win ugly, right? I mean, this might – it looks like – I mean, this is kind of a dead game, but, you know, sometimes it looks like Coach Menzies, he's playing for the guys, huh? Would you – I mean, these players, they're going to play for him all year. They're not going to quit. They're bought in. They're going to try their butts off. Would you agree? I mean, there's no dog in them.
Oh, I absolutely agree that there's a kindred spirit between Marvin Menzies and his roster. They've all come together quickly. They've moved around from all parts of the country. Look, Marvin Menzies has been a head coach for 9 years. This is not his first barbecue. I think he connects with people very, very well. And I do think these players have given an effort. That's one thing I haven't been critical of, and that is the effort that this team has played with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them, you know, whatever, you know, they're banged up a little bit, nicked up. They're gonna compete all year. I don't see these kids, you know, these players. They're not gonna fold their tent. So, you know, they might win ugly, they might lose ugly, but you know, I think as UNLV fans, at least we can appreciate that. You know, they're gonna give a good effort every night, and as a fan, that's all you can really ask for at this point in UNLV's program's career, I guess you could say.
Let me ask you a question before we let you run, Kevin. Other than the fact that this team is a three-point shooting machine, sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. Well, give them credit, 45% from three-point stripe, 13 to 29. Other than that, what is their identity, or is simply that their identity?
Well, getting back to JVT, I mean, if you don't get to the line at all, I mean, let's just fast forward a month and a half from now when they're at Colorado State and the game's tied with 8 minutes to go. If you don't get to the free throw line at all, it's going to be hard to win on the road, burping up threes and jacking up threes, because there's going to be some nights like, you know, you're going to go 4 for 17 from the three. So if you guys could talk a bit about, you know, do they have guys that can get to the rack and get those fouls when they need it on the road, or is it just going to be primarily a team that's going to be looking to burp up threes the rest of the year?
All right, thanks a lot for checking in, Kevin. John, I think it's going to be a three-point shooting team. Coach Menzies has said he wants this team to play with rhythm and tempo, even if they're up against the zone. And if he shortens his bench like he did again tonight, you're going to have tired people, and that has a tendency to create – or that has a tendency to, I think, hamper an offense. And this young, immature offense where I still don't see a lot of ball movement. Mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of player movement.
No, and which is kind of sad because, like Kevin asked, do they have the personnel to do it? I think so. I'll name off all these guys. Tell me if you don't think they can attack off the dribble. Chris Clyburn.
Absolutely.
Uche Ofebu.
Yes, he can.
Jalen Poyser.
Poyser, not as much.
He has had some where he takes it off the dribble.
You know, the irony. The
down.
Irony is you brought up a good topic in our first show. Who's going to emerge as the starting point guard on this team? Javon Mooring or Jalen Poyser? I don't think it's going to be Mooring right now, but if you ask the question in the way you just posed it, Mooring is actually better at breaking you down off the dribble than Poyser is.
Oh, for sure.
Poyser's got a knack for scoring. Let's just give it up to him. Mm-hmm. The guy is a flat-out scorer. He's a little overzealous for my tastes. I don't think, you know, other than TCU, who beat us, and this includes South Alabama, I haven't seen a team coming into the Thomas and Mack that I think can finish in the top seven in the Mountain West Conference, and I mean that.
Oh, thus far. There's a reason why their schedules.
Thus far. But I can only, and that's why I talked about two shows ago, is this a false sense of security? Mm-hmm. What have we really learned about this team? Have we really been tested? We're going to get tested Wednesday night at Southern Utah, but still, UNLV should be able to out-athlete them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that'll translate to a win, but to answer your question directly, and let's continue this. I'll take guys going to the rack for 50, Alex. Bottom line is, Jalen Poizer, I'm not sure if he can. He's got that goofy spin move. He drives into traffic. Yeah. He comes out of the spin, and he thinks he's going to see a clean rim, and there's three guys there. You got to make that read. Once you turn your back to the basket and you lose your eyesight, it creates a problem. So he's a three-pointer. A three-point shooter.
Ben Coupette.
Definitely.
Yep.
Definitely.
We've already talked about Jovan Mohring.
Yep.
Troy Baxter's a guy that
Baxter, very much so.
Yeah. So I mean, that's why it's so perplexing sometimes when you watch them against the 2-3 zone. It's you have guys who can attack off the bounce. It's why aren't they? And
why aren't
that's
they?
The question.
Well, we're not getting great ball distribution from the point guard play. We're not patient on offense. Patience breaks a team down. We need offensive patience, offensive communication, offensive movement consistently. Not just some of the time, a lot of the time. When you don't get to the line until 8 minutes to go in the second half, it's because you're not going to the rim drawing contact, period. And I think that's a recipe for disaster when you come up against a team of at least even of Mountain West caliber, but certainly some of the remaining Power 5 conference teams that the Rebels get to play.
And granted, it doesn't help when you don't have a real low post presence that can actually post somebody up and maybe draw some fouls too in that regard. But you do have to show a penchant for being able to attack, and they didn't today. And again, it was a lot of these possessions where it's just bouncing the ball around the key and then jacking up a shot. Jalen, again, had one of those where he ducks under the defender and tries to throw it up, and it didn't exactly work out. But when it comes to Menzies and this squad, it is intriguing to watch, and that's why I wanted to ask you about this, is when you're so short on bodies and yet you shorten your bench and you won't give guys like Coupette played really good minutes at center. They kind of needed him a little bit, and then you didn't really see him down the stretch.
You got real solid contributions from six guys. Dwayne Morgan, I tip my cap to Dwayne. He picks up his first foul a little over a minute into, he picked up his fourth foul a little over a minute into the second half, had to go to the bench, came back, played a solid 9-10 minutes, and he made some key plays down the stretch. Terrell Green, 23 points, 5 3-pointers. Tip my cap. Yep. Jalen Poizer, 22 points, 6 3-pointers. Ben Coupette, who you mentioned, battled that 7-footer, Ben Lawson. Gave him, did some nice things. Chris Clyburn, who you asked, can he go to the rim? And you know he can. Yes, he can. But tonight, he was all over the boards, getting 11 rebounds and fighting for 50-50 balls. And then Troy Baxter, proving to be an energy guy. So the question is, why don't they? Why don't they go to the rim more? Because not enough offensive possessions and sets where the Rebels are getting into an offense where there's a genuine flow and ball movement side to side. And we're not seeing picks, and we're not seeing cuts to the basket. I just don't think we're seeing enough of that. We're not attacking the gaps enough.
Well, that was a big thing I noticed, too. With some of these screens that they're setting, they're just like with Troy. If you notice when he sets a screen, have you caught this? He'll kind of just do it with his hip. He won't really put his body into it. He'll just use his hip and then flare out with it. Sometimes you want, when you set a pick, get your guys some space, and I think that's not helping either.
I bet you we see a lot of zones Wednesday night, and once again, the Rebels did struggle against the zone tonight. And sometimes when you have a young team, or maybe they're not young, but they're certainly inexperienced, haven't played a lot together, when you struggle offensively, that translates to struggling defensively. And the Rebels did have multiple defensive breakdowns tonight. They need to be far more assignment sound on defense. And I think, and I truly believe Marvin Menzies coaches this, players have to know what their defensive roles are. And they have to stick within the framework of those roles. And then when the play breaks down, they still got to be able to communicate and switch. That comes with experience. We did see some of that in the second half. As a matter of fact, I put it down in my notes. With the Rebels leading 60-56 with 2:16 to go in the game, and they had the referee timeout where there was a possession, there was some question as to whether or not the Rebels had an offensive possession and let the clock expire without the ball hitting the rim. The refs convened. Rebels got a little rest. They came out of that, and they had what I believe to be their best defensive stand of the season. And they contested everything Western Kentucky tried to do. Western Kentucky didn't really even get a shot off. The Rebels get the ball back. Tyrell Green, early in the clock, goes down, boom, hits another three. Makes it 63-56, and at that point, it was good night, Irene. The one thing that bothers me, look, a W is a W is a W. When the Rebels trailed 38-37 on Justin Thomas's three for Western Kentucky, neither team, I said, this is really not a game that's one that's artful, once again, in the sense that neither team was really able to establish – any kind of offensive structure as both teams threw a zone at each other, and certainly any low post presence. Then all of a sudden, Ochio Fabo hits a three, Jalen Poyser hits a three, and Javon Mooring hits a three, and the Rebels have an 8-point lead just like that in 70 seconds. But 2 minutes later, it was tied again.
It was a game of runs, and I think that's what you see sometimes with these games where teams will just catch fire from outside the arc because they can't really get anything else going on. And then you'll see a run here, which is, like you mentioned, a team will take an 8-point lead, then it'll be gone in 2 seconds. Defensively for UNLV, too, you mentioned the zones that they threw out.
Yes.
That's the one thing that's been interesting with Marvin to watch as well.
Yes.
Is Dave didn't really go away from either playing man or playing that 2-3 zone. You saw a 2-3 today. You saw like a 2-1-2. He's mixing it up a lot.
He's trying to find out where this team's strengths are. Question for you. When I see the Rebels in the zone, I like them better in the zone. Do you agree or disagree with that?
To be honest with you, I thought they would. I think they perform a little better when it comes to man.
Okay.
Just because the last couple of games when they've been in that man set, they've actually shown the help defense is there. When guys get run off by a screen or something, some guy will come down to help and he'll fill on the 3-point line. And I think they've shown a lot of energy when they're playing man.
As long as while they're in the man, they play position defense and stay in front of their man. They're not going for steals and getting out of position. But your point's taken, because I'd prefer to see them in man defense for one simple reason. If you can attack or pressure defensively, that enables you to attack better offensively and get some balls, get some runouts going the other way, so you're not stuck in that half-court offense throwing in these long bomb threes, which has essentially become what this team is. They're a three-point shooting machine.
I'm surprised they aren't better in zone, though, because we discussed this a couple shows ago. With their length, you would think that they would be able to force a lot of turnovers when they pinch down on those passing lanes, a la, and don't take this out of the box, but like a Syracuse. You know, when they play that 2-3, you know, Boeheim has that
goodness,
length.
Yes.
When he has length,
yes,
it's just turnover city.
That's,
and I thought lengthwise they would, you know, play pretty well when it came to a zone. But personally, no, I think they play a little bit better when it comes to man.
You do? Because they do have the athletes to do it, but, you know, when you play a zone, you guard an area. When you play a man, you guard a man, obviously, and you have to read and react a little differently. And hopefully, and I'm quite sure that Coach Menzies emphasizes this in practice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Mark Anderson, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll appreciate his input on tonight's game, as well as looking ahead to Southern Utah. One of the things I've enjoyed so far early this season, JVT, are some of the distinctive names. Last week we had Lionheart Leslie come in. Tonight we had Junior LaBamba. We had Pancake Thomas.
I was going to say, don't forget Pancake.
Oh, he was, I like LaBamba better because I like that movie with Richie Valens back in the day. Pancake Thomas and then Q Johnson.
Yeah.
Cue it up. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. Rebels win tonight 71-61. Take a quick break. We come back on the other side. We'll be joined by Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel gives a call, 364-1100. Rebels win tonight, 71-61. At this time, we're joined by a gentleman, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He'll cover the team. He'll beat all games, home and away. And we'll have him on often. Mark Anderson joining us again. Mark, how are you? All right, we'll go back to Mark in just a second. One of the things I wanted to touch on tonight are some numbers. The Rebels end up shooting 42% from the floor, 57 shots they lost, John. And by the way, I know I was critical they didn't even attempt a free throw until 8 minutes to go in the game, but they got 12 free throws in the last 8 minutes and made 10 of them. That's becoming a good, solid aspect of the game. They make their free throws, turn the ball over 11 times, clean that up, and out-rebounded Western Kentucky 38-33. Okay, I think we've got Mark back. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Bernie?
Good, good. You'll take the W tonight. Before I get to some of the aspects of the game, Christian Jones in a boot. Do we know anything more about where this injury came from?
No, I mean, Marvin's got a policy that he will not go into details about injuries, and he makes it pretty clear he won't. Well, he did say today, he confirmed that Jones is out for several weeks. So, he said last night he thought that was the case.
but he couldn't say for sure. Well, tonight he said it that's for certain what it is. And Dembele is out, or is day to day, and it sounds like if he had to play, that he would. But this early in the season, they have the luxury of giving him some extra time to rest, and so Marvin Menzies wants to make sure that Dembele is ready when he comes back.
Several weeks can be a little nebulous. December 28th, it starts for real at Colorado State in conference play. Might he be back by then? I'm referring to Christian Jones.
I have no idea.
All right, fair enough.
It would just be pure speculation on my part.
Fair enough.
I think that's something we have to get used to now with the new coaching staff. We're used to, a much more definitive answers on when guys might be back. But I just think that this coaching staff, and I think it's more of a Mizzi's policy. I just think he is going to be vague about how, injuries and timelines and all that. So I think it's going to be kind of a guessing with from now on.
Mark, can you tell us about that scintillating crowd and how the home field advantage was tonight?
I will say that the crowd kind of got into it in the second half when UNLV was making its final run. But it's even disappointing by this season standards. But you can't blame the football game because it was such a lousy game that anyone who wanted to go to both games could have easily left that one early to come to this one. I think the loss last night maybe left a bad taste in people's mouths, and I don't know if the 5 o'clock or anything to do. You would think that would be helpful in a lot of ways. People would start their Saturday nights free, go do whatever they wanted to if they wanted to catch a game, and so I don't know. I'm not surprised that it was worse than yesterday's crowd, but I was surprised by how much.
Mark, other than the fact that it's fairly evident this team is going to be extremely reliant on threes, can you look at them and ascertain any kind of identity on where, what's going to be the identity of this team after six games?
Well, I think it's going to evolve a little bit. Once Dembele is back playing and they work him more into the rotation, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he'll ever be. I don't see him as an offensive force. I see him more as a defensive guy. But still, you have that big man in the middle they don't really have right now. So that's going to change the nature of the lineup just by his presence. And then once Christian Jones finally returns to the lineup, whether it's late December, January, whenever it is, you saw the difference he made when he was on the floor when he was healthy. So, but I do think generally you're right. No matter what the lineup is, I think they are going to be very reliant on three-pointers, and you know how that goes. If they're on, then can beat almost anyone. But when they have an off night, and they will have off nights with that shot, then they're vulnerable against just about anyone. So I just think it's going to be that kind of season where, you just have to see how they're shooting, and I think you're going to see the team zone them all year. To dare them to consistently hit that shot, and if they do, then like they did tonight, then they'll win. But, I don't know if you can count on them hitting 13 threes every game.
Jovan Mohring, Troy Baxter, 5 and 4 points respectively off the bench, and that's all he got from the bench. Did he give any reason as to why he's been kind of cutting Coupette's minutes short? I mean, he played some pretty decent minutes at center.
Are there some reasons why they shortened the bench? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, with Coupette specifically, I mean, every time Coupette plays, he seems to provide some solid minutes, but he really doesn't get a lot of minutes playing, and I'm wondering what Menzies thinking behind that, or if he's even mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, I think tonight though they played Coupette out of position, out of necessity. They played him to the five for a little bit, and that's not his position. So I think they're still trying to figure out where to play him. He's behind the depth chart at his normal positions. I just think Menzies feels more comfortable going the guys who are in front of him, considering Coupette is still a freshman. I think that's part of it too. I think he's concerned about overloading him at this point and just bringing him along. I frankly, and no one else is asking specifically about Goupette in the news conferences as far as his playing time, other than him playing at the five a little bit today. But, you know, knowing Menzies and how he feels and what he's talked about freshmen in general with this team, it sounds like he's cognizant of their where they are mentally and how they handle things mentally. So I think he's concerned about throwing them in for too many minutes. The one freshman he seemed to kind of feels like he can handle it right now is Baxter. It seems like Baxter is playing a little bit more than the other freshman are, and he got quite a bit of time today.
Wrapping it up with Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review Journal. Mark, one last question before we head into Southern Utah Wednesday night. Rebels didn't shoot a free throw until 8 minutes to go in the second half. Todd Simon's going to know that. Todd Simon's going to know this team's got a penchant for threes. What do you expect to see out of Southern Utah Wednesday night?
You know, I frankly haven't looked too much at their roster yet. I, like a coach, I'm taking it game by game. So I haven't looked at too much of their personnel. I do know they're in a rebuild, and my suspicion from a technical standpoint or strategic standpoint is he'll do what the other coaches have. He'll throw the zone out there and see how Yomi handles it, and hope that Yomi doesn't go crazy from three. So it was interesting that Yomi didn't take a lot of free throws tonight. I think a lot of that is because they did rely on the outside shot, so they weren't as aggressive attacking the zone where they would pick up fouls. And as long as they stay, as long as they keep that sort of same mentality of trying to rely on the outside shot, you're not going to see them make a lot of trips to the line. So, I just think that's how teams are going to play them. They're just going to zone them and see how they do.
Mark, thanks for joining us. Let's catch up again Wednesday night, okay, pal?
Sounds good. Bernie, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review Journal. We just got a couple minutes left in the show. John, let's look ahead to that game. It's one I've had on, from a standpoint of curiosity, I will tell you more than almost any other game on the schedule, that's the one I'm most curious about.
Yeah, Southern Utah. For me, it's more about how do they react on their very first road trip. And granted, not a lot of these guys played with Todd Simon. I believe three of them with Tyrell, Jalen, and Dwayne. But it will definitely be interesting to see how they react to their first real hostile crowd. Leading scorer is one, I'm going to butcher this this last name, Randy Onwuasor. I think is what we're going to go with, 21 points a game. But he's also a guy who crashes the board, 6.8 rebounds per game. So he's a guy, looks like a wing guy who can do a lot of stuff.
Well, I got to believe they're going to be limited. They're not going to have the depth. I think legitimately if Coach Menzies has to, even with Dembele out and even with Christian Jones out, he could literally rotate nine guys, and I don't think Southern Utah can keep up with that. But from a scheme standpoint, I do believe you will see Southern Utah aggressively defend the perimeter with a hand in the face. I do believe you'll see nothing but zone defenses, and I do believe you'll see them patient on offense to break down the Rebels, and we've shown a penchant to have defensive breakdowns.
Yeah, I think, like Mark said, I think from here on out you'll see teams zone them, and hey, shoot your threes, and if you can break it, then break it. But if not, then they've shown that they need a hot night like tonight to really get through and break through like a 2-3.
Any final thoughts, John? Tonight's game, we'll take it. Again, I'm back to my false sense of security moniker in that, you live by the three, die by the three, and so many times it's late in the clock and they're long bombs. And frankly, in our four victories, you'll take them. I tip my cap to what Menzies has done so far. They're 4-2, whether it's UCR, Cal State Fullerton, tonight over Western Kentucky, or certainly Northern Arizona. I don't think any of those teams would finish in the top seven in the Mountain West Conference. And they've all been on our home floor. That's another thing we haven't talked about. True road game in the Menzies era.
Yeah, I think false sense of security is a good way to put it, especially after tonight. I mean, they're not going to hit threes like they did tonight every single night. And that's why I think if you watch the game, don't think, or if you just check the box score, don't think that they're getting the whole three-point shot thing figured out.
I agree, John.
So, but looking forward to it, like I said, and like you already mentioned, looking forward to how they react to their first true road test in front of a hostile crowd.
I'm with you. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, John Von Tobel, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you goodnight. Next up for the Runner Rebels, a date Wednesday night in Cedar City, Utah. Tip-off, 6 p.m. against the Southern Utah Thunderbirds, coached by Todd Simon. We'll see you then. In the meantime, tonight's final score, UNLV Runner Rebels 71, Western Kentucky Hilltoppers 61. Good night, folks. Drive safely. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend.